This is Bulldog Live on the Pulse. To get in touch about the news of the day, call 866-823-1077. Now, here's Brian Tilton and Bulldog Live.
Second hour of Bulldog Live underway right now. As I said, we do have quite a bit of things to talk about here on the program. Not only in addition to the Oklahoma City area tornadoes and, how many of the tornado outbreaks across the plains and the Midwest of the last few days, but also what may be coming up today and so on. But as a lot of people will be continuing to focus their attention and will be the main focus in all the newscasts and has been the focus right here at the beginning of the show as well, basically your prayers, your kind thoughts, and even a few dollars that you can throw their way for the relief efforts as well. Number of organizations getting together, and you know who they usually are, the Red Cross, Salvation Army, and so on, and so many more to come out. And I'm sure in just another couple days or so, we'll get some warnings from the Better Business Bureau and the Attorney General's office about bogus charities. So again, just be careful, because you know how technology is, allows anybody to set up a website in the matter of hours, and you could be giving to somebody you don't know. So I will link on my website tonight, BrianTilton.com, a list of known reputable charities that you can help out in the process, even if you don't want to give to either the big major ones, one or two that'll be a little more closer to them. So that should help you with your decision and making best use of your dollars, because that's what we like to talk about from time to time here on Bulldog Live, right? Well, anyway, joining us right now to talk about a story that came out over the weekend, and it was actually a very good read, and spent a lot of time reading this. Jack Savage is joining us now from the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forests, where they recently got a legal memorandum written up for them to show about a possible route that Northern Pass could be eyeing and in Coos County, and to see if there's a way for them to get through. And Jack is here to talk about it. So, Jack, good to see you.
Good morning, Brian. How you doing? Hey, I got a question for you. I heard a rumor that BrianTilton.com was being bought by Yahoo for $1 billion.
Okay.
Is that true?
No. I wish it was.
It ought to be. Don't you have as many followers on that as these others that they're paying a lot of money
for? I had people
for,
asking me, who's Tumblr? I'm like, I don't know, but it must be worth something.
Right. Well, you should have named it BrianTumblr.com or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll add Tumblr to the end of it, perhaps, Oh, gosh, I could use $1 billion right about now.
Could you?
But you know what? I wouldn't know. Well, I know what to do. I can make it disappear real quick, actually.
Sure. You take that $1 billion, you invest it in Powerball tickets in order to win $600 million.
There you go.
Yeah, it's about like investing in technology companies.
I'll check with Steve Albrecht, the Chartered Trust Company, first. If I ever got something like that, he'd be the first phone call I'd make,
go.
Let me tell you.
Yeah, good folks over there.
I just wanted to ask you, before we do get into this topic, a personal note for you, too. Last year, you ran in the Boston Marathon.
That's right.
Remember we're talking to you just about a day or two after that. Did you run in it again this
year?
I
did not run this year. My brother ran instead, and so I was down there with thousands of others at the finish line. But I was very fortunate. My brother finished 20 minutes ahead of the incident down there, and so I was pulled back several blocks before any of that mess. And I've just felt terrible for all the folks who were down there. Really, what a tragedy that was. And of course, we've all been obsessed with following the news about it and seeing ultimately what these guys were up to and so forth. And just really too bad that such a celebratory event like that for the city of Boston. Really, it's more than the city of Boston. I think we've all
here in New England tradition.
Yeah, we all have some very close connection to somebody who runs or watches or something like that. It's amazing how broad the impact that event has. So really, it was a New England event and a celebratory one, and just really, what a tragedy.
Yeah, well, next year will certainly be a very different one, won't it?
I think so, yeah. I think it's going to be, in response, just better than ever.
Yeah, I think so. I think we'll make it big, and we'll triumph over this, just like many of our other challenges and adversities.
Absolutely.
that a lot of people face. But we want to talk about this legal opinion or memorandum, I guess it might be more appropriately called, that the Forest Society had asked for regarding a possible route for Northern Pass.
Right. There was widespread speculation that because of the land that Northern Pass has acquired up in Coos County in order to put together 40 to 50 miles of a route that doesn't exist today, a right-of-way, power line right-of-way that doesn't exist today, across some of the most beautiful landscape in New Hampshire and New England, by the way. I know you've been up there, Brian, so you know.
Yeah, we've talked about it many times.
All right. Because of the of tracking the properties that they've acquired and the properties that we've put easements on in order to block their completion of that route and thus compelling Northern Pass to look at alternatives such as burial or using an existing HVDC line or others, there was widespread speculation that in order to make use of the $40 million investment they've got in this land up there, they would have to cross the Connecticut Lakes headwaters. And if anybody's looked at the maps that we've made available on our website or our blog, or I think are on your website too, Brian, there's reason to think that would be the case. In fact, I think they very well knew that they had sort of painted themselves into a corner, because that's when they approached Mr. McAllister about going around this particular piece of the Connecticut Lakes headwaters. And those who have been around in New Hampshire for a little while may recall that back in 2003, there was a very big deal made out of protecting ultimately a total of 171,000 acres, 146,000 of which were continued to be in private hands, now owned by the Forest Land Group, but with a very specific conservation easement on them that prohibits lots of activities and allows for certain activities, including forestry activities and recreation. What it doesn't allow for is erecting structures for a commercial purpose other than forestry, and that's what Northern Pass would be. And so, given the amount of speculation that's been, we wanted to have a very clear understanding from a legal standpoint whether there was any loophole whatsoever for Northern Pass to attempt to get through there. And it would appear at this point that there is no loophole, that they simply cannot do it. And that furthermore important that the state, as the holder of the easement, has an legal obligation to defend that easement. It's not like the state could simply say, oh, well, we've changed our mind, now we want to work with Northern Pass. They have a legal obligation to defend the provisions of that easement.
Yeah, and the Forest Society, I believe it was on Friday night, you posted this on your website, the copy of this memorandum written by your attorneys, Ransmeyer and Spellman. And it spans like 14 pages. It's
very thorough, yeah.
It is, and it really goes into looking at all the possible loopholes and all the things. Well, you see, they may allow us to do this. They may allow us to do that. But I just want to share the paragraph from the cover letter of this, which was addressed to Jane Diffley, the president of the Forest Society. They say, we conclude that the express terms of the conservation easement deed prohibit the penetration of the Northern Pass project into, on, or under land protected by the conservation easement, and there is no easement provision which would allow the state to consent to utilizing any portion of the land subject to the easement with the Northern Pass project. Moreover, the state of New Hampshire, as the easement holder, has the duty and responsibility to defend and enforce the easement, which is the point that you had just made
right here.
So, I mean, it's pretty clear, and then the memorandum goes on to explain all those possibilities, too.
Right. And I think it's because of this, and because, I think because Northern Pass recognizes of the challenges they face in that regard, that they don't have a route that they can legitimately announce as being viable. And that's why, even though at the end of February they promised to announce a route within, quote, a few weeks, the end of March and then the end of April came, and there was, although there was plenty of opportunity to announce a route, none came, and now they've said that perhaps in July. And I think they're in the process of taking a closer look at this project. If you listen to the earnings call that NU had at the end of April or beginning of May, you know, the stock analysts began asking some very pointed questions about the viability of the project. And I think Northern Pass is still struggling to make a viable case for the need for this project, for the business proposition of this project, even given the decreasing demands for energy in New England in the short and medium term, mm-hmm. given the difficulties with creating it, given the other ways that this could be accomplished that would be at this point far easier to pursue, given the fact that the Champlain-Hudson Express is on its way to being built over in New York, which is underground and underwater, a 1,000-megawatt line, given other proposals around it, this project and its viability is very much in question at this point.
Yeah, and looking at, of course, again, the apparent success of the Forest Society with their Trees Not Towers campaign and the conservation easements that you had acquired, including on the McAllister farm that you referenced earlier, it really seems like, and I was just having this conversation the other day, somebody asked me, who actually lives in Deerfield and actually supports the Northern Pass project, she asked me, so where do things stand? I said, it's at a standstill. They have no route. There's no place for them to go. The land's all locked up.
Yeah, I mean, one can presume that they're trying to figure out how they might be able to make something work. And
mm-hmm.
And that's fine for them to do. Here's the opportunity that's being missed. You know, the state is more ready than ever, as a result of the SB 361 Commission and others, to take a look at some other viable options that wouldn't have the same kind of devastating effect on New Hampshire's landscape, and could, if there are any potential benefits for importing this large-scale hydro from Canada, to make that happen. There's lots of people who still question whether that's a good idea, either from
right.
either from importing foreign energy standpoint or from enabling large-scale hydro or whatever. There are certainly lots of questions to be asked. But there's, you know, because of the controversy surrounding this project, there's actually an opportunity here. And the question may be whether NU steps forward and takes a hold of that opportunity, or whether perhaps another transmission developer recognizes that Northern Pass is not going to get anywhere anytime soon, and starts working towards having their own proposal to underground a line, for example, along transportation corridors through New Hampshire into southern New England.
And I know New Hampshire DOT, which owns a lot of those corridors, are ready, and they have a process to talk to them about it.
Yeah, I don't know how ready they are, but clearly the state politically is ready to listen to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that was the case 5 years ago. And so that's an opportunity that somebody is likely to pursue. And the question is, will NU be willing to consider that? And that's been our goal, is not necessarily to stop the importation of this energy from Canada to southern New England, but rather to, if it's going to happen, to have it done in a way that doesn't sacrifice New Hampshire's landscape and private landowners along 180 miles in New Hampshire.
Back to Jack Savage joining us here from the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forests, forestsociety.org. Back to the Headwaters Tract, and if you can just explain for our listeners, maybe draw the map in their minds as to where this land is that we're talking about in Coos County.
Yeah, the Connecticut Lakes Headwaters Tract, or collection of tracts, it's now owned by the Forest Land Group, essentially the northernmost portion of New Hampshire. And to that extent, it's bordered a lot by Canada. And if you go to Pittsburgh to snowmobile, you probably mm-hmm. snowmobile on trails across the part of that Connecticut Headwaters Tract. If you go and enjoy some of the 1,000 miles of ATV trails in northern New Hampshire that are being touted now, that's going to include some on that tract, on the roads across that tract. If you go hunting far up north, you may be on that tract. And all of those uses are permitted, and all of those are reasons that this land was to be protected. And so the Northern Pass and Hydro-Québec have been attempting to bring a transmission line with 135 to 140-foot towers across the Canadian border in Clarksville, west to east across the landscape in order to get over beyond Dixville and then heading south through Millsfield and Dummer and so forth and connect into the COAS loop. The Connecticut Lakes headwaters is right about where they want to come in and moving north.
It's basically around Coleman State Park area, north of that, right?
It is, and around the first and second and third Connecticut lakes. I mean, after all,
this
headwaters,
so too.
I mean, I'm sure your listeners know the headwaters are the beginnings of a river. And in this case, it happens to be the Connecticut River, one of New England's most important rivers.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the key reasons to protect it, is to make sure that as that river begins, it's the water that's feeding it is filtered and clean and consistently there, and among many other reasons. And so it's a very large tract of land, far to the north of New Hampshire, the northernmost part of New Hampshire, and has been an economic engine from a forest product standpoint and a tourism standpoint for many years.
Sure. And as this letter points out, this legal letter, and I want people to take a look at it. It's posted on forestsociety.org. It's also on my website on the Northern Pass page at briantilton.com. Because it explains not only about the importance of that land and what are permitted activities and what are not permitted activities, but it also takes a quick snapshot into how important this land is. You've got some high elevation forest, you got some low elevation, life that lives around. There's some stuff that's very, very unique to this region. So that's one of the many reasons to protect that land up there and why this headwaters tract was conserved many, many years ago.
Right, and that gets into the extent to which a proposed commercial power line, associated towers and so forth, including visual impact, because part of the purposes for protecting that land included the scenic landscape.
Mm-hmm.
Are in direct contrast to the purposes of the easement. And that's the fundamental problem is that if a proposed use is directly in conflict with the purposes for conserving the land, it's not something that could or should, or in this case could, be made to happen.
So you would expect that if Northern Pass, and according to some published reports, they have not approached anybody with the governor's office or DRED or attorney general, whoever may end up into this. According to any of those published reports, they haven't come forward, but it would be expected that the state of New Hampshire would have to tell them, nope, sorry, not going to do it.
Well, I think what this part of what this legal memo points out, that given the construct of the transaction, the state of New Hampshire, as the easement holder, has an obligation, a legal obligation, to defend the easement and the purposes for which it was protected. And so following that logic,
mm-hmm.
one would presume the state would need to tell them, sorry, that it can't happen.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, again, Jack Savage, thank you very much for joining us. Again, how's the Trees Not Towers campaign going?
We're doing good. As I think you know, we've completed several
yes.
conservation easements, and those are permanent, done, including Mr. McAllister's, Lynn Placey, recently the Lewis family. Down in Columbia, which sort of cut off another potential route for them.
This was south of the Balsams property,
right? That's right,
right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. right. They had bought a piece of land down there, and we wanted to make sure they weren't able to skirt the Balsams to the south. And then we have a number of options with other landowners that help us make, at this point, we see the threat as long-term. Northern Pass may go away. I don't know that they're ready to do that yet, but to the extent that Northern Pass may go away, there's still quite a bit of land that's been purchased by a utility company that has an interest in transmitting power. And we want to make sure that in 10 years this thing doesn't come back.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to fight the same fight over again. So we have some options with some additional landowners. We're working with about 15 landowners now. And so now we're down to the last $750,000 we need to raise in order to execute those options and make permanent our protection of that landscape from overhead power lines and towers.
Really, really made a lot of progress with that campaign, which initially started off at $2.5 million fundraising goal.
Right.
Look how far you've come.
Right. And What I would point out is that people often point to us and say that we did it. It's not really us. It's over 3,000 donors. It's all these landowners. I got to tell you, there are landowners who have donated permanent conservation easements in order to stop Northern Pass. So they were turning down millions of dollars and permanently restricting their land because they felt so strongly about not only their land but the broader landscape and their neighbor's land and so forth. And kudos to them. Those are the kind of people who made this happen.
There you go. Well, Jack Savage, again, ForestSociety.org. Check it out. And you can see any of the Trees Not Towers campaign banners on my website at BrianTilton.com, which is on just about every page. Thank you, Jack. Good to see you again.
Yeah, likewise. Thank you.
All right. Bob Jackman joins us next from LaValle Middleton Building Supply for a weekly Focus on Efficiency segment here on Bulldog Live on The Pulse.